The 6th of January, we have an update on Kyrie Irving. We have a new Phoenix Suns starting five. Zion Williamson on the cusp of a return, potentially, and nine games to go through. This is the Monday pregame show. Let's go balls deep.
I'm the type to get shit done. You're the type to observe. March Madness on my speakers, but today's November 23rd. Cause I'm loud in the blunt, yeah. Don't say what I want, yeah. Probably somewhere sunny and tan. Foreign women in the sun, yeah.
That's all that I need. That's all that I need. That's all that I need. Got my brothers with me. Got my brothers with me. And my mama's healthy.
Welcome to the Balls Deep Podcast, brought to you by Fantasy Basketball International. I'm Adam King. Find me on Twitter and Blue Sky at AdamKing91. We are on Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube. Please go and find us and subscribe to us. Download the episodes. Stick that thumb up. We are part of the Old Man Squad. At Old Man Squad on Twitter. And Dan Bespris, at Dan Bespris on Twitter. DanBespris. And he is at Old Man Squad on Blue Sky. So we do have a little bit of injury news now. We'll talk about the Kyrie Irving stuff first up. They do play tonight, but Kyrie, so an update just posted in the last few minutes that Kyrie is out with a bulging disc in his back. So we're looking at 1 to 2 weeks. They have sort of stated that once they get an idea of, let me just bring it up so I can use the exact words. So there's optimism that treatment over the coming days will provide a return to play target date. So they're putting a bit of a time frame on it at the moment, and we may get more information in the next week, I guess, few days, depending on how that treatment goes. But yes, Kyrie out for the foreseeable future, which we will talk about the pickups, but Grimes and Dinwiddie are obviously the two targets there for the Phoenix Suns. New starting five. They do play in the first game tonight, so we'll talk about them when we get there. Zion Williamson also potentially returning this week, which we've talked about the last few days that he is probably close. Undoubtedly, he's going to be on a minutes restriction, which means he's probably not ready to come back, but he will come back. And we will monitor that situation and how that impacts guys like Trey Murphy. He's probably the main one, I think. He himself is questionable after the ankle injury last night, so that's a good sign. But let's get into the games because I do have to go to work today. All right. First game of the day, Phoenix at Philadelphia. So let's look at the Suns. Their new starting five, panic stations in Phoenix. So Bradley Beal and Yusuf Nurkic are moving to the bench. I don't really think this impacts Beal too much. I think he'll still play starters minutes. So we don't really want to be doing anything with him. Yusuf Nurkic, I think it does impact him because, I think he'll still... It's still possible that he plays more minutes than Mason Plumlee, but the fact that they're bringing Ryan Dunn into the starting lineup alongside Mason Plumlee, Dunn can also play as a bit of a makeshift center. So, yeah, I think of the two, Beal and Nurkic, it's Nurkic here who's impacted the most. I would still hold him, and let's get a look at what this rotation looks like. Would we or do we add Ryan Dunn? Look, he's probably been picked up in a lot of spots anyway. He's been playing pretty good minutes. He has a decent fantasy game, but I think he's okay to pick up, and let's see again where this goes. Plumlee, would I add him? Probably deeper leagues only. He probably needs 30 minutes to be a 12-teamer, but if you only need rebounds and some assists and, out-of-position assists and the occasional defensive stuff, then maybe Plumlee is worth looking at. I would like to just see what this rotation shift looks like in the real world, not just on paper. Grayson Allen, we should be adding him this week. The Suns do have five games this week as well, so we are going to get a good look at it, assuming they stay healthy, which, of course, we know that the Suns are not good at that. For the Sixers, Joel Embiid is questionable. Usually he will be questionable. Kelly Oubre also questionable to return. We're probably still rostering Oubre. He's not doing as much offensively, but he's getting steals. He gets rebounds. So he's okay to hold, I think. Kyle Lowry, questionable. Who cares? If Embiid is out, we look at Drummond and we look at Yabusele. I think it would be Drummond who would start here against Plumlee. Actually, a pretty good matchup. Two older, slower centers. So they could basically mirror each other here. Keep an eye on Embiid's availability. We probably assume he plays and that this is just precautionary, but you just never know with Embiid. He could get injured getting out of bed or something. So monitor the situation there in Philly. Second game of the night, the surging Pistons host the surging Trailblazers. Is that fair? I don't know. For the Blazers, DeAndre Ayton, who was listed as questionable yesterday due to rest, has been upgraded to probable. So they probably got a call from the NBA's front office saying, excuse me, why is a guy that barely ever plays listed as questionable for rest? So we will assume that he plays tonight, which means we do not need to go and add Donovan Klingon. Scoot Henderson, I think, is worth adding in most standard leagues at the moment. He's playing relatively well. Avdija, we assume, is rostered. Kamara is probably rostered as well. So not too much there on the Portland side. On the Detroit side, Asar Thompson, who started in the last game and had six steals, I think, is questionable with an illness tonight. So not an injury. That's good. So monitor that one. He's probably been picked up after that performance in the last game in most spots. If he is out, then, oh God, who knows? We could get some more Marcus Sasser. Fontecchio is back. He has been out for personal reasons. He could get a little bit more run here as well. Beasley will have to do a bit more, but Beasley should be rostered everywhere. So, keep an eye on the Detroit injury report. For the next game, Indiana at Brooklyn. The Pacers still without Aaron Nesmith. He must be getting close. We haven't really heard a lot about him, but probably edging towards a return. Nembhard, as always, he's fine. He's not super exciting. If you need typical guard stats from a guy that probably shouldn't be doing as much as he has to do on this team, give him a look. TJ McConnell, his minutes have scaled back down with them getting healthy, so he is just an assists and steals streamer. And Obi Toppin, we talk about him a lot as well. He needs to push to about 20 to 22 minutes, which he isn't getting at the moment. So more of a watch guy than an ad. For the Nets, Ben Simmons is questionable. D'Angelo Russell is questionable. We know who is out. Cam Johnson, Cam Thomas, both out. Hopefully Johnson is only out for this sort of week and then maybe back next week. Cam Thomas, on the other hand, he is out till at least, I think they get back from their road trip on the 19th of January. So he's still out for another 2 weeks at least. And who are we adding? Well, there's a list of about four or five players here we could consider. Keon Johnson, Jalen Wilson, Zaire Williams. Noah Clowney, probably go throw him into that bucket as well. Tyrese Martin. I think Keon Johnson is probably the preference just over Jalen Wilson, just over Zaire Williams. And then I would go Tyrese Martin. Clowney, he's a little bit different because he plays a different role. He's still more of a stash. I know we thought that these injuries would open up playing time for him. They have to some degree, but he hasn't done a lot with it. So he is more of a stash. I think I'm holding him in a couple of deeper spots, but that's it. Simmons obviously being in or out and Russell being in and out would impact all of this. If they're both out, then I think we just add Johnson, Wilson, Zaire Williams, Tyrese Martin, and probably Clowney. I think they're all worth rostering tonight if Simmons and Russell are both out. The Bucks head to Toronto. For the Bucks, Middleton is doubtful in this one. Just maintenance, so we're okay there. With him out, we probably get a Taurean Prince sighting in the starting lineup. I probably wouldn't be that interested in rostering him. If Andre Jackson is also out, we probably get... Gary Trent's the obvious name here, but they just don't seem to like starting him. It might be AJ Green that moves in. So if you need threes, he had seven, I think, in that last game. So he could be someone to look at for threes. For the Raptors, RJ Barrett, questionable with his illness. No idea if he will return. He has been out. We talked about this for like six of the last eight games or something like that. So hopefully he returns from a Raptors perspective. That will actually give us a good look at what their rotation looks like and a bit of a gauge on where Grady Dick sits in terms of 12-team roster ship or roster potential. Quickly, we're still easing his way back in, but has looked pretty good. With this healthy roster, sadly, Kelly Olynyk is not someone we can hold. Bruce Brown is not playing enough to be held. And Agbaji is the swing guy, I suppose. So if Barrett is out, we can probably hold Agbaji. If Barrett is back, then we can let Agbaji go. Orlando at New York. The banged up Orlando Magic. No Paolo, no Gary Harris, no Jalen Suggs, no Franz Wagner. Paolo is close. He is listed as out due to reconditioning, so I would assume he is back this week. Not tonight, obviously, but for their next game. But for tonight, we roll with Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, Tristan Da Silva, Cole Anthony. Anthony Black was available last night but didn't play. That could have just been a first night of a back-to-back decision. He's maybe worth a look tonight, but that what they did with him last night, it worries me a little bit. Wendell Carter has been coming off the bench, and I don't think we need to be rostering him. If you did want to try and catch him on a hot one tonight, by all means, go ahead. But with nine games, you probably don't have a lot of streaming spots available. For the Knicks, Karl Anthony Towns is questionable. He left that last game with a, what are they calling it, a leg? Just a leg. Yeah, we don't have a, but he did a workout anyway. So he is questionable, as is the Knicks philosophy. If you're able to walk, you probably play. So good chance he plays. If he doesn't, we go and add Precious Achiuwa. They do play at 7:30 Eastern, so we should hopefully have some clarity before lineups lock at 5 to 7 on Fantrax and at 7 o'clock on Yahoo and ESPN. So Achiuwa would be the look, the guy there. Brunson is probable, so he probably plays. McBride is questionable. If for some reason Brunson doesn't play and McBride doesn't play, then Campaign is someone we want to consider. San Antonio heading to Chicago. The Spurs rolling with their usual starting five, which means Keldon Johnson and Julian Champagne are deeper targets, 4 points only. For the Bulls, also, I need to stop yawning in these morning shows. The Bulls are also relatively healthy. Lonzo Ball has been pushing into the mid-20s in minutes. He is worth picking up, assuming field goal percentage is not a primary concern for you. He has been a bit up and down in that department, but He gets rebounds, he gets assists, he gets defensive stats, and he gets threes. So good to see Lonzo out there and pushing into a meaningful role. Not really a lot else to talk about there. Patrick Williams, I suppose, he's playing 30 minutes, so if you wanted to add him, fine. The Mavericks, we talked about Kyrie being out for a couple of weeks here, so that debate over do we add Dinwiddie or do we add Grimes is no longer a debate. They both have to be added. I actually managed to pick up Dinwiddie in a 16-team league last night, so there you go. He is still floating around. So, yes, both of them have to be rostered. Klay Thompson will theoretically have to do more, but I don't know whether he can do more, but he still should be rostered. He's been playing quite well. PJ Washington will have to try and do more as well. Najee Marshall returns from his suspension. I'd probably be considering him as a pickup as well. If PJ was out, obviously he'd have more of a bump, but I still think Najee will play 25-ish minutes, potentially more. And Jaden Hardy in slightly deeper leagues, I think he's worth a look. He can pop off for some high-scoring games, even in limited minutes. So, yeah, I don't mind him. For the Grizzlies, still a lot of injuries here on this team. John Conchar will return tonight. Luke Kennard is questionable. That's good to see. Given this is a hamstring, oh God, who knows? He could come back and then re-injure it, miss another 2 weeks. I think I've got Kennard in one or two leagues, so I'll throw him out there tonight if he plays and just see how he goes. He is one of those expendable players, obviously. Brandon Clark, very borderline. This is a decently sized opponent in Dallas with Derek Lively and Dan Gafford. So Edie probably plays a little bit more here. It could be a bit of a minute split, though, because although Lively and Gafford are both sizable, they are both quite mobile, which favours Clark a little bit. So there could be a bit of a minute split there. Laravia, who had a really good game in that last one, he takes a bit of a hit with Conchar back. But, of course, we're still without Marcus Smart and Ja Morant. Desmond Bane, who is doubtful, probably won't play in this one. So Scottie Pippen, we hold on to him. We probably add Conchar. And we maybe hold Laravia. Jalen Wells, he is really just a points. More if you need points, but playing enough to be rostered. Clippers at Minnesota for the Clippers. Kawhi Leonard, we will see what his minutes look like here. That last game was a bit of a hard one to gauge because of the blowout. Now, they have said that Chris Dunn will start if the opposing team has a shutdown player or someone who can potentially shut down James Harden. Look, I would say if they're going to play Anthony Edwards on Harden, then yes, Chris Dunn might start in this one. It doesn't mean I'm rostering him. If you just need steals, you could stream him in. Derek Jones is also in that stream category. Amir Coffey has had a couple of good games, but we know who he is at this point. I don't think he's a priority tonight. For the Timberwolves, I've got Mike Conley in a 16-team league, but that's really just because he plays tonight. If he has another poor game, then I will be moving on from him. He's just been, yeah, I think he is. If Josh was playing, he's washed music. Conley is in that discussion now. DiVincenzo, the minutes are still okay. The production's fallen off a bit. I would still rather him over Conley, though, quite clearly. And McDaniels, well, you roll the dice if you want to try and stream him in tonight. Who knows what version we get. Next game, last game of the night, Miami at Sacramento. Surely Miami are better than they were in that last game. No Jimmy Butler, of course. Hayward Highsmith is in, so he will start. He's probably at the bottom of the list of targets on this team. I think Rozier might be at the top for me, followed by Robinson, Harkes, Jovic, Highsmith, probably that order. Khalil Ware, will keep an eye on him. He's been playing well. The minutes are probably as a result of results and things like that. So I don't think we need to be adding him, but we're certainly monitoring that situation in Miami with Khalil Ware because he has been playing well. For the Kings, Fox is questionable. He missed last night with the glute injury. I don't know what they were listing it as, or actually what are they listing it as? No, it's not even coming up there. Anyway, questionable. If he is back, what do they do? Chances are Keon Ellis moves to the bench, which well, I've talked about this ad nauseum. I don't think they should do, but I think they will. I would hold Ellis. Even if Fox returns, maybe they can still push Ellis to a 30-minute role or 28 minutes, which is probably enough. Keegan Murray, though, if he's in that starting lineup with the rest of them, we know what his role is. It's stand in the corner and wait for the ball to be passed to you. So if they stick with this starting five, I think Keegan Murray will trend towards being a drop. Maybe last night gave him a bit more confidence to actually be proactive on that end of the floor and try and get the ball in his hands a bit more, but we will see. So interesting to see if Fox plays, and if so, what does the rotation look like? All right, that's all the games. Let's have a look at some questions. During work hours, yeah, what a special day this is. As a Beal owner, I'm sad. As I said, I wouldn't worry too much. Like, I don't think this is a situation where they're going to move him to the bench and play him 25 minutes. He'll still be close to starters' minutes. Alex missed our Aussie food conversation. It was an interesting one. Vegemite scrolls do go hard, and Palmy over Palmer. Yeah, it's a Palmy for me. I prefer a Palmy. And Vegemite scrolls, I am a frequent visitor to the supermarket to go and buy a Vegemite scroll as a breakfast go-to if I don't get to eat before I go to work. What have we got from Joseph Kim? If you're strong in rebounds, assists, steals, and blocks, but weak in three, which of the three categories is typically easier to improve from the stream? Okay, so... okay, so looking to improve threes, points, and free throws from the waiver wire. It's threes, pretty comfortably, yeah. Points are tough to find on the waiver wire generally. Free throws... you might find someone that is good at free throws, but their impact in that category is not going to be super high because you need to be a high volume free throw shooter to have a significant impact. So you might get someone that's a 90% shooter, but if they only average 0.9 free throws a game, it doesn't really make a difference. Strong in rebound, assist, steals, and blocks. Yeah, look, that's sort of a weird. If you're strong in those categories, you've probably got a mixture of bigs and guards. Assists and steals obviously correlate. Rebounds and blocks correlate. Threes, points, and free throws all tend to correlate with assists and steals. So. Yes, I would say look at threes there. It does affect Beal if he pulls a Jimmy Butler, but there's some sort of trade clause there, I'm sure. I'm not sure exactly what it is. Will this make him angry? I don't know. I don't know whether this decision would have been made following discussions with Beal and Nurk and sort of what's best for the team, or was this just a decision by the coach and Beal and Nurk were told that they're moving to the bench? That would obviously be very different. So Old Man in the Sea has Nurkic and also picked up Plumlee. Who would I start out of the two? I don't know. Maybe it's Plumlee. Just roll him out there and see. Obviously, his per minute upside is a little bit lower than Nurkic, I think. But, it might just be Plumlee. And you've got five games of this, so I wouldn't stress too much. I don't think if you start Plumlee over Nurk that Nurk is going to come out and play 32 minutes and have 18 and 13 with three assists and two steals and a block or anything like that. I think they will be similar in minutes. Would I drop any one of these players for any one of these players? I reckon. Okay, so would I drop Claxton, Ayton, Herb, Amen, or Vassell for Beasley, Grimes, or Dinwiddie? Vassell, no. Amen, no. Ayton, probably not. Not based on per game, I wouldn't. I don't know what Ayton's role or if he's going to have a role when we get to March or April. But for right now, I think you have to hold Ayton. Claxton's been playing better. Herb would be the one I'd consider there with Zion coming back. He is just a steals specialist, really. Defensive, I suppose, because he does get blocks. So if you don't need steals, then I would probably have Beasley, Grimes, and Dinwiddie over Herb at the moment. But Herb obviously is pretty locked in for a starter's role. But yes, we saw yesterday he had 11 points, I think, and that was sort of what you expect from him. I would expect more than 11 points from Beasley, Grimes, and Dinwiddie moving forward. Man roster, 12 are top 100, 7 are top 50, strength spot, and Chet and I. How would I manage my roster and trade for a top player? Some decent players on the way are Keegan. Yeah, I mean, none of them are masked roster players, I don't think. Keegan, Asar, Kamara, and Max Christie. 12 are top 100, 7 are top 50. Yeah, I mean, if you're wanting to trade for a top player, you could look at if you've got seven top 50 players, you could potentially move a couple of those guys and try and get a top 20 player or a top 15 player. That's probably how I'd approach it if you need to. Would I drop Suggs in a 10 team points league? You could. Paolo is very close to returning, so I think that's okay. We don't have a lot of word on that injury either. And Franz will come back in the next 2-3 weeks, maybe. Would I rather have Dinwiddie or Dante? It might be Dinwiddie. Dante, it's been so up and down. I know Dinwiddie's been really up and down as well. But I think Dinwiddie's minute ceiling is probably higher at the moment. Who's the better injury pickup, Grimes, Spencer, or Andrew Wiggins? Wiggins has been pretty good, I want to say. I don't have Wiggins anywhere, but let me have a look what he's been doing. He's having a good year, isn't he? I think he is. Come on, Wiggins, here we go. So where are we? Yeah, look, Wiggins is the 88th ranked player for the year. Top 100. Yeah, I think if you're looking for long-term kind of thing, then it's probably Wiggins because his role is his role. We know Grimes and Spencer, their roles are going to change over the next... They'll be pretty set for the next 1 to 2 weeks until Kyrie's back. Then it changes a bit and then Luka potentially comes back. So Wiggins, if you're looking long-term, if you're looking just for like the next week or something like that, I still think Wiggins is safer. Grimes and Spencer are both going to play, but we've seen their production fluctuate a little bit where Wiggins stays fairly consistent. So I think safety-wise, it's probably Wiggins. C Park going against PJ this week or today and Kyrie going out. Luka, yes. Is this version of PJ Washington going to kick your ass today? Well, maybe. He'll have the opportunity to, but we know PJ's offensive output is very hit or miss. He'll get minutes, though, so there is a chance that we get a good version of PJ today. What have we got? We've got some discussion. So Beal just said he's waiving his no trade clause for Clippers, Heat, Lakers, or Nuggets. So he might be coming to Miami after all. Did we get a... Okay. All right. Well, yeah, we'll see. That would indicate that maybe this decision to move him to the bench was not a joint decision. We'll see. Yeah, maybe he does want to move. Man, I wouldn't want to go to the Heat at the moment. Does Jimmy Butler does want to go to Phoenix? Oh, well, watch that. Okay. Alex just said, heard big brain rumor that Phoenix bench Beal for him to waive his no trade clause. Yeah. Yeah, look, this could be, we know, I mean, what are we? We're about a month exactly away from trade deadline. So we are going to start getting some of these rumors. And old man in the sea, do I collect Lego minifigures? Not really. I don't think so. I did buy all the Dungeons and Dragons minifigures, and that's because I had the Dungeons and Dragons set, so I just wanted those to go together. I do have most of the Simpsons Lego characters, so I bought most of those, and there's new Simpsons Lego coming out this year, so I may have to complete that collection. Other than that, not really. I would have liked to, and I might still end up getting the Muppets, the Lego Muppets collection. But yeah, in terms of just general minifigures, no, I don't. Miami don't want Beal contract, so a third must surely have to come to the table. Yeah, they shouldn't want his contract either. Cool. Okay. I think we're done. Let me get rid of that comment. People don't need to see that now. Thank you, everyone, for listening, for tuning in, and go and download, please. We always say just go and download it. They all add up. I'll be back with a post-game show today. WWE Raw debuts on Netflix today, just for anyone that's a wrestling fan. I am. So I will be trying to watch that at some point later this afternoon. It's being slated as a big Raw. It's a big thing coming to Netflix. So there could be some old wrestlers, which I always like watching the old wrestlers. There's a Goldberg rumor. The Rock might be on there, and should be fun. But I will be back with a post game show. Enjoy the action today. I'm Adam King. This has been the Balls Deep pregame show. Until next time, catch ya.
You just listened to another episode from the Fantasy Basketball International Podcast Network. Thanks for joining us. And for more information about joining our community, please check out our website at fbibasketball.com.